all that he still does, nothing can come near in comparison to that. So don't turn to the world. Don't turn to personalities and the lack. You know, think about who you serve. Think about this God that I just gave you just a little bit of information about. And if you get into the words, you can just revel in the things that he is and that he has and that he can do, all of his kingdom. And he said worlds without end belongs to him. My God. And then he's going to give us eternal life. So think about it. You know, think about his divinity, his supremeness and his superiority. You know, think about who he is and ask yourself, you know, am I living like I know he would have me to live? Am I getting into the word so that I won't turn from the things of God, but I can turn more to the things of God? You know, think about this. Why do I not know him? You might ask yourself that question. Why do I doubt him? Why do I not trust him? Why don't I believe him? And when you come to the short of this, you're going to understand it's because you don't know him. That's why you're in the position that you're in. You know, when we come up short in our prayers and our prayers are unanswered, we're living unholy, unrighteous, you know, just living and doing as we please. Think about this. Think about this. And think about what I've spoken to you about your God and who he is. He's endless. He has so much power. Until anything we ask, anything we need, he said, I'll supply all of your needs. You know, we need to be tuned in. We need to be tuned in, saints. We need to give him our undivided attention. We need to give our undivided attention to God. And we should be getting ourselves into complete alignment with the word of God. We can see how great God is. We can know nothing in this world could cause us to stray or to be lost when we keep our mind stayed on Jesus. Saints of God, this is where we're supposed to be. We need to turn our mind to the Lord. We need to turn our life to the Lord. There needs to be a turning. And like I told you, in the book of Timothy, the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse, this is our lesson text. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. This is where we got the topic of our lesson, that there should be a turning in the church right now. A turning from what? A turning from the things of the world unto the things of God. Church folks today, they're leaving and they're abandoning the will and the ways of God. They're turning away from the true gospel and true religion. They're not adhering to sound doctrine. Paul talks about the church at Colossae, about the turning away in the last days. He warns them about false teaching. And saints of God, we're going to pick up right there. In our next session, we're going to pick up right there.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree,
we died to save man.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16 and verses 24, 5 and 6. Matthew 16 chapter verses 24, 25 and 26. Jesus has given an important word to his disciples, to the people of God, and I think we need to hear what the Spirit of the living God is saying to us today. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, read. Bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, I have a cross to bear. I have a cross to bear. Help encourage your neighbor this morning and say, neighbor, we have a cross to bear. Turn to your other neighbor and say the same thing. Neighbor, we have a cross to bear. Now give God some praise if you believe that today. Jesus speaks these words to his disciples, denoting the death that he himself is going to die. He has mentioned to them that he had to die by giving up his life, by dying on the cross. And now he enjoins them to follow him. It is not a very well received message from the Lord. They were having difficulty just dealing with the fact that Jesus said that he was going to have to die on a cross. If that weren't enough, now he's telling them to join him. Y'all gonna catch that when you wake up. They're like, Jesus, I heard you say you had to go and die on the cross. And now you're telling us we are going to have to die on the cross? Listen to what Jesus is saying now. Jesus is saying to them to take up your cross and follow me. Well, when he said that, here's what these men knew, that having known the standard and the issue of a Calvary or a crucifixion, they knew that the condemned persons were always called to carry the cross that they were going to be nailed to for their crucifixion. Jesus Christ was not the first person that they've known would be crucified or had been crucified or would have to be crucified. They had seen crucifixions many times before. As a matter of fact, once a year they had them, at least. And so they were familiar with crucifixions. That's why they knew what he was talking about when he talked about his own death on the cross. And now he engages them to take up their cross. Here's what they know. When he said, take up your cross and follow me, he knew, they knew rather, he was not talking about a journey. They were talking about a destination. They were not talking about just a few days. They were talking about until life ends. They understood that taking up the cross meant a certain death sentence for them. If it was for Jesus and they were followers of Jesus, then that meant they too would have a death sentence on their lives. My brothers and sisters, one of the things that I think we need to grasp this morning is the fact that each one of us have a cross to bear. As Christians, as believers, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, our lives are no longer our lives. Our lives belong to Him. And if they belong to Him and He says, follow me, then that means we have no other recourse. We have no other warrant but to follow Him. Here are three things I want to tell you about the text that we're dealing with today. One, Jesus says, deny yourself. You see, my brothers and sisters, in order to follow Jesus, you can't follow the Savior and yourself at the same time. One is going to take precedence over the other. And Jesus knew that the only way these men could be true disciples, true followers, the only way that you and I could be true disciples, true followers of Jesus Christ is if we deny ourselves. The hardest thing to do in this life is to deny you. You'll deny mama if it came down to it. You'll deny daddy if it came down to it. You'll deny your partner, your mate, your husband, your wife, your children if it came right down to it. And we do it on a daily basis. But Jesus is saying, if you're ever going to be a true follower of mine, you're going to have to deal with this issue of self. Putting self in its place. And that's behind the Savior. Not in front of the Savior. Not along with the Savior. But behind the Savior. Which means that you are following Him and you're not following yourself. It means denying your desires, denying your decisions, denying the things that you want more than anything else in this life. Listen, because you are made of flesh and spirit, and self is more concerned about flesh than it is spirit. And as long as flesh got some say-so in the matter, his vote is always going to be for self. Self-preservation. First law of nature. Got to take care of me before I take care of anybody else. And so Jesus knew unless you deal with yourself first, you'll never be a good follower of Jesus Christ. So number one, he says, deny yourself. Well, when you deny yourself and accept Jesus as your Savior, guess what you have to do? Number two, die to your sins. Die to your sins. You can't keep doing what you've been doing now that you're following Jesus. Some things just don't mix. Oil and water don't mix. Light and darkness don't mix. Good and bad don't mix. Up and down don't mix. I think you get where I'm going now. You're going to have to make a choice. It's one way or the other, but it cannot be both. And how many believers today are trying to live both ways? Too many of us have been on the fence too long. You're Christian on church, in church on Sunday mornings, but even before church is over with, flesh has crept up and you're already thinking about what you're going to do. You're already thinking about who you're going to do it with, where you're going, how it's going to be. You're already thinking about all kinds of things instead of your mind being wholly focused on Him. And we've got to die to sin, meaning we have got to make our minds up. We are not going to be willing sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the word. That's true. And listen, and all of us still sin. But some of us don't even put up any objections to our sins. We're good with it just as long as, you know, we get what we want and we feel how we feel. And it's all right with us until we remember who we're supposed to be and supposed to be following. And then it's difficult for us to follow sin and the Savior at the same time. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Why? Because you're not going to take up the cross if you don't deal with the first thing first. That's denying you, getting you out of the way, because it says, I accept my death sentence. Taking up the cross means I accept my death sentence. You see, that's how real it's got to become to you, because you're dying to trespasses and sin. Yes, sir. And so you can no longer, yeah, you're going to sin sometime, but as soon as you sin, you want to repent and say, God, forgive me. Change my heart. Clean my heart. Make me what you want. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Why? Because if I do not die to sin, I'm going to keep on sinning like sinning ain't no problem. And one of the greatest problems we have in the church is saints still with sinner problems. Somehow drink the drinkers under the table. Somehow cuss the cussers. Some would do dirty dealing along with dirty dancing and every other kind of thing they wanted to do, until it comes time to come to church. And then they begin to realize, wait a minute, that's not the way a Christian is supposed to act. But what you forget is, Somebody is watching you. And when they see you, guess what they're supposed to see? You bearing your cross. Bearing your cross. Thirdly, not only must you deny yourself, too, must die to sin, but three, be willing to die for the Savior. Paul put it this way, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see, if you don't deny yourself, you'll never get to that point where you're ready to say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Everybody want to go to heaven, but nobody want to die. Listen, we want Jesus to walk with us, but Jesus ain't down here on earth no more. So if we want to walk with him, guess what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to die. We're going to have to leave this place and go to the other place. But see, we want all that sounds good and feels good, but we don't want anything that costs us anything to stand and follow Christ. He goes on telling, listen, if you're willing to lose your life, you'll find it, you'll save it. You'll have it. Because what it is a sure sign that you have denied yourself and accepted Jesus Christ. And however he decides, whatever he wants to do, it is well with your soul. Because you belong to the Lord, and because the Lord can command you to do whatever he wants you to do, and you'll do it as a faithful soldier, as a good soldier, you have no problem, because you know when you signed up for this Christian journey that death was at the end of it. There's nobody that in their right mind go and signed up for one of the military armed forces and never think about dying, possibly if war breaks out or they're sent to a place of war and that they may not come back. Listen, dying has got to be a part of your decision making. And as a true soldier, you train, you prepare, you do all that you can do, hoping that you can go do what you're supposed to do and come back. But if not, you're a soldier in the army of the Lord. And whatever it takes, you'll be willing to do your part. And you won't go AWOL on the Lord, like so many saints do. When it gets a little tough, they go AWOL. When something is required of them, they go AWOL. And yet, when we don't follow Jesus and choose to save our lives, what we've chosen is truly to give it up by other means. If you really want to save your life, the only way you can really save your life is to give it to Jesus. Because here's what you need to know. If you give your life to Jesus, then Jesus has the power to give it back to you. I am come that you might have life, and that life more abundantly. If if you give him your life, he's going to give you a better life back. But if you don't give him your life, even that life that you're holding on to is going to be taken away. Do you know every day Satan is on your trail? Let me see the hands of those who you know Satan is on your trail. Old folks, you say he got the hound, a dog on his trail, however they put that in that same fashion. You know, hound dogs sniff out and they know how to find folk tracks, and that's what Satan does. He is behind you, and Satan is always trying to accuse the brethren. And can I tell you something? He ain't always wrong. He ain't always lying. Jesus, your servant. Yeah, they shouted up the house on Sunday. But you should have seen them Monday night. And he ain't lying. You know, I mean, whether it's Monday night football or whether it's going out and celebrating or sharing or going to this or doing that or whatever the case is, you let your hair down and forget that you got a cross to bear. See, one of the things a cross does is remind us we can't get too casual. We can't get too comfortable. The cross reminds us that we're on the battlefield for our Lord and not for ourselves. And so when we don't give him our lives, we've made a decision to lose our lives. It's just a matter of time. He says, but then, you know, there's some of you who think you're smart. You think you've got this thing figured out. What will you give in exchange for your soul? You've been thinking about it. You got this thing planned out and all of this, and what you're going to do and when you're going to do it and how you're going to do it and all of that kind of stuff. But it's because you're in love with the riches of this world more than the God who loved you so much. He gave you the greatest riches heaven had, and that was his son, Jesus. What do you have that can compare to what Jesus offers? If you were the richest person on earth and lost your soul would be more valuable than all the riches on planet Earth. One soul. That's why we say, if nobody but you had decided to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, he would have still come down, died on the cross, 3 days later got up with all power in his hand just for you. Because your soul is that valuable. And my brothers and sisters, whatever it is you're chasing after, make sure it's more worthier than your soul. Whatever you're denying the Lord for, make sure it's better than Jesus. Whatever person you're following instead of the Lord, make sure that person can give you eternal life. Whatever you're doing unto men rather than unto the Lord, make sure whoever you're doing it with, why you're doing it, where you're doing it, when you're doing it, is worth more than doing it for Jesus. Because without Jesus,